Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we welcome Bill Volkert and Noel Cutright, our bird guys, to the microphones today for the entire program as we talk about spring bird watching. And one of my favorite birders also joining us today, Judith Sears-Poisson, who is, I tell you what, she's comes by pretty often, don't you? Well, wait a minute. Have I got the wrong microphone on for you? Well, let's see. Yeah, there we go. Hello. Let me try it. Let's try that one.
Well, I do come by pretty often, and not just when it's pledge.
I'm glad.
I was going to say I was one of your favorite birds, not one of your favorite birders.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am glad that she's here because she can help me talk with you about our spring membership drive. And I want to say thanks to everyone who's a sustainer or who's already contributed during this drive or regularly by mail. As a nonprofit public service radio station, we rely on listeners like you for a large part of our income. It's nearly 40%. So if you haven't given yet, now is the time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as always, we have a goal. I'm pretty sure of that.
We have a goal, yes. And last hour, the goal was 40 pledges, and we heard from 21 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Now, our goal is to get 65 pledges by 12:30. Meeting this goal helps make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money we need to fund the programs you rely on. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet that goal, 65 pledges.
The Ideas Network is with you all day long, whether you ride to work or errands with us or you cook dinner with us or you listen at home or wherever you are. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donations. So I hope you'll help us now. Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without your support. So please go to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and make your pledge.
And we have something really special going on this drive. Pledge at any amount and you're entered in a drawing. And not just any drawing. It's a drawing to win a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding areas with Larry. I mean, it couldn't be any better. Great gardens, great scenery, lots of fun, and Larry. And I heard him say, and I'm holding it to him, that he's going to buy the first round.
I am going to do that.
You can find out the details, and more important, make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we're going to be talking with our friends Bill Volkert and Noel Cutright about a great springtime topic, birds. Discussions like this are possible because of your financial support, so I hope you will give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We know you give to WPR to support the programs, but as an added incentive, we have something special for you today.
We sure do. You can receive the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Foldout Guide when you donate $60 or more. It's a beautiful guide. Ask for it now when you make a pledge of $60 or more. Your gift of any amount is appreciated at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And just as an example, I'm looking in here, these nice multicolored photos, and the mute swan and the tundra swan are two that I sometimes have trouble remembering. I'm going to carry this with me.
It's a nice, it actually fits in like a business size envelope, so that means it'll fit in your glove compartment. You can have it in your car, so when you're driving around, put it in your back pocket when you're going for a walk. It's really a great handy little guide.
You can
guide.
Get it wet and it won't full roll up into a ball.
Is that from personal experience, Larry? It sounds like it might be. Well, giving couldn't be easier. We try to make it as easy and painless as possible. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We just need your name, contact information, the amount you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And ask for the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Foldout Guide with your pledge of $60 or more. Just pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
So I'm hoping that we're a little behind and that some people have already called, but we're still looking, according to the computer,
what?
We're looking for 65 pledges before 12:30. So please help us out now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, with any pledge, any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London, England. You can get the details now. And please go and take a look at those details. Go to WPR.org and look at the details of this trip. You're going to it's a fantastic trip.
It really is. I want to read this comment, Larry. Lenny from Menominee Falls says, WPR is one of the reasons why I am glad about living in Wisconsin. I thank all of you for making me smarter, happier, and giving me more fun. XOXOXOXO. Well, hugs and kisses back at you, Lenny. And we would love to have you join Lenny in supporting WPR. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
And thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. And I bet Judith will come back. I'm sure. She's just like a bad penny.
Like when you least expect it.
She'll come rolling in. But I'm really glad that also rolling in by way of phone, we have Bill Volkert. Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I am. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thank you so much for being with us. And Noel Cutright, Noel, are you there?
I'm present and accounted for.
Present and accounted for. Wonderful. Well, Bill, of course, a naturalist. He's retired now, a wildlife educator, worked out of Horicon Marsh for many years. Noel, past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and two of our regular guests who come by to talk with us about birding. And certainly if you have questions for them or comments, I hope you'll join us. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Or if you had a picture you want to post, or maybe an identification or something like that, go to the Larry Mueller Show and you can post a question or a comment there. And guys, you know, we got spring started early, lots of plants and wildlife responding to it. How has this affected the progress of the migration? Noel, we'll start with you.
Well, it's been really, as you say, Larry, an amazing spring, and our birds are reacting to it. We've seen a number of early arrivals for a great number of species, even though the bulk of the individuals of most of these species will be coming pretty much on time. We are seeing some early individuals out there exploring to see what might work for them in the future. And we always have these individuals that are kind of stretching their bounds. And, of course, if they are successful over time, this will get built into the population, and we'll see changes when birds arrive. But it's really been a quite amazing spring, and
yeah,
we're getting early egg dates also. I had a report this week of a killdeer egg already in March. You know, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. Bill, you're seeing the same thing, I bet.
Oh, definitely. They're responding to the early seasons, of course. And I think two things have really accelerated the migration, and that is certainly the warm temperatures, which meant the ice went out early. So any bird that's dependent on water, it opened up very quickly and almost statewide,
Seems
like at once. And I think that probably had an effect that the ducks didn't, say, hit southern Wisconsin and then slowly progress north. They scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
And, of course, we also had a lot of south wind. And so that was bringing that warm air up to us and, of course, also moving the birds. As Noel mentioned, there are other birds that haven't responded. But then again, if you're sitting in South America for the wintertime, you don't have a clue what's happening in Wisconsin yet. Those birds are responding to the seasonal changes down there that will initiate migration. And we'll see what happens as they start making their way north and what weather we have yet to experience over the next month and a half or so as we get into the middle and latter stages of migration. And we'll see what happens. But
yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
One of the problems is that those people who enjoy watching those little warblers, we're not going to see them this year. They're going to be hidden under very dense foliage.
Yeah, that's...
The leaves are going to open up very quickly.
That's too bad, in a way.
It's great if you want to practice identifying them by voice, because you're going to hear a lot of them, and they're going to be hard to see behind all those big leaves. It'll be a tough year for that.
Well, Ruth in Milton has a question for you guys. Hi, or a comment. Hi, Ruth.
Oh, hi. In November, I listened to your program, and you were mentioning birds that were normally Texas birds that were sighted here. So Inca doves were sighted in Mequon. Well, that first weekend in March was the one here where we had the snowfall. I lost my note about the exact date. I'm thinking it was soon after the Birkbeiner that we got home here in Milton, and we had enough snow to ski over the weekend, so you probably remember that. I came home here in Milton, and there was a confused Inca dove in the snow.
Oh.
And now, that's not a new arrival. It probably was one of those ones that had its range further north and stayed through the winter. And so I have one other question that maybe someone can answer. In that same program, you referenced Muskrat Lake in Rock County to do sightings, and I can't find that lake. So I'll let you answer those, please.
Muskrat Lake in
Rock County.
Rock County, okay.
Yeah, it's just over the border from Dean. I got a gazetteer here, but I don't have time to pull it. Maybe during the night
okay.
I can pull it out and tell you.
Okay, it's on the... on that line, then, the Dane and Rock. Okay, that's fine.
Well, listen later, and I'll try to interject that.
Sure.
Your reaction to the Inca dove, I mean, that would be a second state record, so it would be great if you could go to the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology site and go into their documentation forms, which you can fill out online and send that record in, because we need to capture that for our ornithological history here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I hope you'll do that.
Yeah, yes, I will. I'll need to ascertain the exact date of that, and I noted it, but I can't find my note.
Yeah, just go to wsobirds.org.
wsobirds.org, okay.
And go under records and just follow the choices there, and you'll find a documentation form, which would be great to have you submit that.
Oh, all right.
Thanks, Ruth. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Frank in Waukesha. On to you now. Hi, Frank. Top of the morning to you, later. To you as well. I was wondering, with the different species that we have throughout the state, are we in the process of having vanishing species of some of the common birds, and might the kestrel be one of them?
Yeah, I'll try.
Go ahead.
Tackle that first. There's a number of states and regions in the United States where the American kestrel does show decline. We're seeing that both with breeding bird surveys and also counts of these birds as they migrate. So we're definitely seeing a reduction. And in reaction to that, the Peregrine Fund, stationed out in Boise, Idaho, has started an American Kestrel Partnership. The Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory, which is a rather new facility organization that I founded a couple of years ago, is a partner in this American Kestrel attention. And, in fact, the observatory has as a goal this year is to erect and start monitoring 100 kestrel boxes here in southeastern Wisconsin. So it's definitely a species that we're definitely concerned about, and there's national attention as well as a state interest. There are already some organizations here in Wisconsin like the Madison Audubon Society, and also some folks up in the central part of the state in central Wisconsin that already have a kestrel, just like we have bluebird trails, they have kestrel box trails out there, and they've been monitoring them for several years. So
very cool.
Yes, definitely.
Are
there other species that are also shrinking, and is there a suspected cause of any of this? Is this like going back to the TDT era, or is there something else?
Well, as I often state, that there's about a third of our breeding species that are increasing in number, about a third that are declining, and about a third that are steady. So we have representatives in all three of those different categories. But, yes, some of the species that we're really concerned for are purple martins, chimney swifts, common nighthawks, and I think we get a call or two every year, Larry, talking about whippoorwill decline.
Yeah.
So we definitely have a number of species that we're trying to address. And, of course, we don't know the reason for some of these declines, whereas others, for example, the grassland birds, you know, like bobolinks and meadowlarks and some of the grassland sparrows and upland sandpiper, which will probably be uplisted to be a threatened species in Wisconsin. It's just the lack of good habitat for those. Other species, like whippoorwill, we might have some suspects, like kestrels. We really don't know.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Frank, for calling. Appreciate it. Larry and Cashton, your turn. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Say, I got a robin. I lose you?
Yeah, no, you're there. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I've spotted a robin in my yard, and it's got the nice orange breast, but all of its feathers on the head and down the back wings, everything else, are white.
Hmm. So you got a kind of a piebald. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Piebald is one term we use for that, or leucistic. They also refer to it as partial albinism. You know, this is really kind of a genetic thing, and we see it mostly in really abundant species, Canada geese, robins, red-winged blackbirds, and I usually refer to this as just the roll of the dice, probably a chance of one in a million or so that one of those individuals is going to have some sort of an aberrant plumage, whether it's just partial white or entirely as a full albino. And when you've got something as abundant as Canada geese and robins, there's probably a greater chance that somebody will actually see one, but it does show up in a number of species.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got some pictures on the camera, and I'm going to try and get them on your Facebook here over the weekend so you can take a look at it.
That'd be great. Thank you very much, Larry.
Okay.
Appreciate your call. We had a Facebook comment from Andy, by the way, who said the DNR biologist reported a turkey egg nest last Thursday. That's a month before the first egg dates from the Atlas.
Yes, it's just amazing. You know, we have peregrines that have eggs already, and it's just with a lot of reports of robins building nests and house finches and cardinals. So it's really pretty. It's a spring for the history for the record book.
Yeah, and there's a Facebook question from Susan. It's a little different, which has to do with a black-capped chickadee. Why is it flying into the patio door repeatedly and then flies away only to return and fly into the glass again? I taped a piece of paper on the glass to scare him away, and he just flew into the other one.
Yeah, that is one of the tough ones to deal with. Chickadees are not that common. We usually see robins, cardinals, and goldfinches are the most common birds to be doing that. It's what I call shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Basically, they're seeing the reflection. They think it's a competing male, and they're trying to keep him out of their territory. They get up there, flutter away, and they try pecking hard and put on an aggressive stance. They turn around, figure they chased them out, and as soon as they turn around, there he is. Mirrors on cars, the side mirrors is another likely place. And what makes it tough is that you've got a lot of glass on your house, and you can try to distract them on one window. And they may just, like, she's got
to go to the next.
Go to the next one. It can be frustrating for the bird, and they'll keep that up sometimes for a good month and a half or two, or sometimes well into midsummer, into the breeding, well through that breeding season. If we can discourage them early and break the habit, that's the best you can do. Otherwise, yeah, it gets a little tough for both the people who are there, birds waking you up and tapping on the window at sunrise already, and I suppose a little bit frustrating for the bird, too, who's constantly fighting somebody who's just not there.
Just not there. Dan in Wisconsin Dells, on to you. Hello.
Yes. Hi there.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Well, I got actually two questions. My first question is, I saw a couple of sandhill cranes, this was about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And the sandhill cranes looked like the female she was bent over, her wings were spread out wide, and then the male kind of climbed up on the back end of her. Were they actually mating there? Or?
Yes, they were.
It was pretty neat to see. I've never seen that before. I mean, I've seen eagles before, but never. That was quite unique.
Quite a balancing act for them.
Yeah.
And then the next question I have for you, I just watched that movie with Steve Martin, Black Jack, and I think Owen Wilson called The Big Year.
Yes.
And is that, you know, it's all about birding. Is that true? I mean, are there guys out there that are that competitive to have a big year?
Actually, I interviewed the author of the book,
okay,
The Big Year, and in fact there are. And it's the movie was loosely, well, you know, moderately based, let's say. on the characters, the actual characters from that book, The Big Year. It's a fascinating book, by the way, if you can get a chance to read it.
It's probably more in depth of the different species then, huh?
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, Bill, Noel, have you guys, did you guys see the movie or read the book?
I have not, but what you're really seeing here is what's going from field ornithology, the study of birds and their populations, to, say, casual birding, the enjoyment of birds in your backyard, to really kind of a competitive birding and sporting, where they're out there for the numbers and, you know, who knows where the birds are, how to find how many in, whether it's 24 hours in one county in your backyard. And I guess there's both that sport, there's that fun, the competition. And, of course, it does require a thorough knowledge of birds and their occurrences. And there's always going to be a few people who take whatever sort of endeavor into a new direction, into different levels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the extreme level. That you, Bill, did you read it? I'm sorry, Noel, did you read the book?
No, I didn't, but I'm quite aware of Big Ears, and it's been going on for years, and there's been some incredible stories written about what the depths of expense and physical endurance that people will go through. Some are, you know, maybe in one state, one may be in a country, one may be world, so you can kind of choose the geographical area you want. I'm going to be doing a big day this year, Larry, to raise money for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin's Bird Protection Fund. And we put together a team, or the southeastern team, called Hawkeye and the Ancient Murrelets. Hawkeye is my son, who has one of the best set of eyes I know and is great at spotting the birds. And then we have three old codgers here that are going along and try to help identify and maybe spot a few birds. And if people are interested in pledging, this is a fundraising effort that we're doing, and we're funding a number of different projects in Wisconsin. But it's all being coordinated by the Natural Resources Foundation, so they can go into the website with www.wisconservation.org and click on the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. They're fielding teams up north, including Laura Erickson's on that one. Charlie Luthen's on the South Central team. Also the Lukes up in Door County. But, of course, I'm working to try to raise money for the Southeastern team. So if you want to make a pledge, I would encourage all the listeners to do that. Not only is Wisconsin Public Radio very important to support throughout the year, but we need to support bird conservation, too. And this is one way that WPR listeners can do that.
Wisconservation.org. I'll have to go take a look at that myself. All those names you're mentioning, I know all those people, or almost all of them. So that's pretty cool. I like that. And we have Carl from Fox Point who has a question for you guys. Hi, Carl.
Good morning. I just wanted to congratulate Bill on the fact that Horicon was just named a Bird City, Wisconsin, and I saw that Mayville was named that earlier, too. And I know Noel is involved in that program, so I thought maybe I'd give them a chance to talk a little bit about Bird City, Wisconsin, and what it's up to this year. I know they've talked about it before on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. That's very good. And yeah, congratulations, Bill.
I think congratulations go to the cities of Horicon and Mayville, who have both identified closely with Horicon Marsh as a real treasure in your backyard, been great supporters of it. And, of course, we need to make sure that we've got good habitat, not just at places like Horicon and our state forests and wildlife areas, but in people's backyards and collectively throughout entire residential areas. And if everybody did a little something in their own little piece of land for birds, you add that up for a neighborhood or for a whole community, and we can do a lot. The entire project for Bird City is modeled after Tree City USA.
Yep.
And so there are essentially a series of requirements that cities have to meet to make them bird-friendly and to get that kind of a special recognition as bird cities and to really kind of join in on a conservation effort and not just leave it up to the conservationists, the individuals, the private organizations, and to government agencies, but to get the people in their own community doing something literally in their own backyard. And as I say, if we take a look at an entire neighborhood or a community and everybody does a little something for birds, it does add up and can be quite significant. And so I think it's congratulations to them and to the other bird cities in Wisconsin jumping on board.
Yeah, it's been actually been quite a few, Noel.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we just hit the 50 mark in this most recent go-around where we recognized 11 new communities. And what's really exciting is that all 15 inaugural sites that were recognized as the first class have re-upped and renewed, and five of those have actually demonstrated that they've done more and attained high flyer status. So that includes Stevens Point and Green Bay, Muskego, Oshkosh, and Ozaukee County.
Yeah, it's just wonderful that that we have so many, and eventually we're going to have lots of tree city. We have lots of tree cities, but we're going to have a lot of bird city here in Wisconsin as well. As we visit with Bill Volkert and Noel Cutright about birds, Judith Sears-Poisson joins us as we listen here to our Birder Guys talk. We rely on listener contributions to pay for all the programs you enjoy here on the Ideas Network. And during this, our spring membership drive, asking you to take action by becoming a contributor to WPR. Every gift helps support the programs you rely on. So I hope you'll make yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Judith, we got some pledges that we need yet.
We do. We're still looking for 59 more pledges in the next 60 minutes. That's totally doable. Thanks if you've already given, but if not, the time is now. Help us stay on track by making your contribution right this minute, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At the end of the show, you'll often hear the guests compliment our listeners on their great questions, intelligent questions and comments. Thank you for being such thoughtful, active listeners. And thanks for your financial support that makes it all possible. If you haven't pledged yet, do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And a great gift to go along with that.
Yes, we always try to find interesting, useful gifts that you can pick up on, somehow connected to the topic. Today, you can receive the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Fold-Out Guide as a thank you gift for your pledge of $60 or more. It comes out to just $5 a month. And actually, I put a couple of pictures of it up on our Facebook page during the last segment, so you can take a look at what it looks like and how useful it would be. Your pledge will help support the programs, and you'll enjoy the thank you gift. It's the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Birds Fold-Out Guide for your pledge of $60 or more. As Larry noted, I think from personal experience, laminated so it won't get wet if you or it falls in the water. Your pledge of any amount supports WPR programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And why should you give at this moment right now? Well, because you're listening right now and you're thinking about it right now.
And it's the right thing to do, and you feel great when you do it. WPR is an important public service that we enjoy providing, and you'll be making a wise investment in quality music, entertainment, news, talk, and bird information.
And I think we use your donations well. We put it into programs that you hear every day. I hope you'll support this station. You value it. Support it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've made the decision to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, but you're looking for the best way to fit it into your budget. A sustaining membership may be the answer. You decide on a monthly amount to be deducted from your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
Sustaining, automatically renewing memberships are very powerful for us because they're cost efficient and really reliable for us because they're convenient and of course, affordable for you if you choose the proper amount. So choose a monthly amount. Become a sustaining member right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we have any movement here?
No movement. We're stuck at 59 more pledges, and now it's in less than the next 60 minutes. Please help us out now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ask for the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Fold-Out Guide with your pledge of $60 or more. You can pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. 2552.
And don't forget, with your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to London and Southeast England with our own Larry Mueller. This is this is a great opportunity. It's going to be so much fun. Get the details and pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You're going to love this Pocket Naturalist Guide, the Great Lakes Bird Guide. Yours for a contribution of $60 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thank you.
Thank you very much. Bill Volkert with us and Noel Cutright. Great to have them along. Thank you so much for listening in. And I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Again, you can email us at talk at WPR.org. Go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. Or email us at talk at WPR.org. And speaking of emails, guys, we have some emails here. Let me see. Go to one here. Email from Kari. Just want to let you know that there's a white robin in River Falls, Wisconsin. And you guys aren't surprised at that, are you?
Not at all.
No.
Always exciting to see, though.
If you want to post that.
What's that?
I say a nice picture of that would be worthwhile for the listeners if she wants to post it.
I would love to see that. Yeah, I mean, post it up on my Facebook page if you can at The Larry Mueller Show. Email from Lauren in Tomahawk. Should we put our hummingbird feeders out earlier than Mother's Day up north this year?
Well, it's interesting that we have had a few reports of hummingbirds already. I mean, these guys, again, are coming from the tropics, but seem like there's always a few adventuresome individuals, so they have been reported, but the great bulk of hummingbirds will get here pretty much on schedule, maybe a little bit early, but so I would really target around the first of May to get your hummingbird feeders out.
Okay, and then an email from Chris in Oak Creek. Can you tell us, given the unusual spring weather, when is the best time to go visit Horicon Marsh this spring? Bill, what do you think?
I would start right now because this is a great time for the waterfowl. And over the next few weeks, you're going to be seeing other water-dependent birds coming in, the rails, the herons. They're just beginning to arrive. And like any good habitat area, during migration, different birds are arriving at different times of the year, even if some come a little earlier than normal. More than one visit is certainly warranted if you can fit that into your schedule. So you can catch right now the ducks in their best plumage. And in a couple of more weeks, we can pick up some of the other marsh birds. And then as we get into May, the songbirds start to arrive. So a couple of visits out there, whether it's to the same marsh or forest or a couple of different places throughout the springtime. But I would start right now. Pack up and get out this weekend.
And, Bill, you just got back from Columbia. Which is an important habitat for migratory songbirds, is it not?
Definitely. In fact, of the almost 400 species of birds we sighted down there, it was a trip my wife and I took, we had dozens of North American migrants and Black Bernian warblers, Cerulean warblers. I couldn't believe the numbers of them. And you really see how these long-distance migrants are dependent on good conservation way down south in countries like that. And Colombia has actually been quite progressive in trying to protect the birds. In fact, they have a special place we went to called the Cerulean Warbler Reserve, and it is set up specifically for our North American migrants.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was just great to be able to see these little guys all the way down there hiding out and just trying to imagine the long journeys they have. And, of course, I think our important role here to make sure that we protect in Wisconsin and surrounding areas the breeding habitat so they have a place to rear their young and to make sure they can make a safe journey all the way back again and find secure habitat down there. It's they're dependent on us these days. And, yeah, it was an extraordinary experience for us. It was great stuff and lots of birds that I'd never seen before in my life.
Oh, that is so cool. So you saw 400 species, you think?
Just under that.
Wow.
Yeah, just under that. And, of course, Colombia has more bird species than any other country in the world.
That is
the latest count is 1,879 species compared to Wisconsin with about 425.
Noel, are you jealous?
I'm jealous.
I'm a little jealous. I mean, man, that's...
I'm, I'm going to hide in a trunk sometime.
Instead of going to England for flowers, how would we go down to the tropics for birds next year?
Well, maybe we'll do that. I tell you what, it sounds like a lot of fun. Jim in Rhinelander, by the way, has a question for you guys. So I'm going to go there. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Actually, I have an interesting observation. I broke my ankle this winter, so I spent a lot of time laying on the couch. And on one day, I observed a shrike catch four different mice from underneath my bird's feet. And I was really surprised. One, it caught a vole, and I could not believe that a bird that size could get lift and fly away with that thing.
Yeah, they're pretty strong. And, of course, this is one of the birds that stores away food. They'll lodge them on a thorn or in a Y-shaped, V-shaped wedge someplace in a shrub. And so when times get tough and they're unable to hunt or unable to catch anything, they'll have a storehouse to fall back on. So that's a pretty neat observation.
It made me realize how many rodents you have underneath your bird feeder. Just in about an hour and a half time.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way. Here's the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment for our guests today, Bill Volker and Noel Cutright. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Let me give it once more. Caller in Menominee has four bluebird houses, but the neighbor has outdoor cats. Wondering if she should just take them down so she isn't hurting the birds into a dangerous situation. What do you think, Noel?
Well, that's a real tough one, Larry. Birds are certainly susceptible to cat predation. In fact, it's one of the larger fatality factors that's human-related. And, boy, it's hard to advise until you really kind of see the setup of the yard and so forth. I guess I would, and she's probably already done this, talk to the neighbor to try to keep them indoors or at least on their property. But that's tough, and it's always a quandary on what you should do as far as bird feeding or putting out houses if your neighborhood does have a lot of cats. So all I can do is urge her to try to impress on the person that their cats will live longer, they'll be healthier, you'll have fewer vet bills to pay if you do keep them inside your house all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have two cats, and they never get outside except when they go to the vet.
Yep.
And that's I think that's a good way to do it.
I have two, and that's the same for them.
Same for you. Email from George in Madison. This week after the snow melted off the southwest bicycle path in Madison, I saw at least 20 to 24 red-tailed hawks swarming in formation pretty much a ball above the bike path near Midvale Road. Is this common for the species of hawk?
Red-tail, normally not. Broad wings, which come up a little bit later, they're all the way down in South America for the winter. They tend to what we call kettle, where you get the uplifting of the warm air and you get the entire swarm on that updraft. It looks like they're in a kettle. But I guess when the conditions are right, it's certainly a way for these birds to gain the altitude, because they're not, when they're migrating and moving, they're not doing a lot of straight-line flying under their own power. In other words, they're using that rising air like an elevator that takes them up, and then it'll catch the winds and move out. It's a way to be able to really travel with using very little energy.
Yeah.
I don't see red tails do that a lot, so that's a great observation.
Yeah, very interesting. An email from Pat and Nina, who saw a pheasant near Kewaunee over the weekend, hasn't seen one in quite a long time. Is this related to increases in the turkey population? Probably not, no. I wouldn't think.
No, turkeys are a forest bird. So the turkey population has responded both to that introduction and the available forest habitat we have with a lot of the acorn mast as food and the winter shelter that they find there. Pheasants, that's, of course, an introduced species. They come from Eastern Asia and China, and they did very well in the early farm matrix. In other words, small fields, fallow fields, shrub rows, the interspersed wetlands. That was that mosaic that was really favorable to pheasants when they were first introduced in the early 1900s. They did well through the 1940s and 60s. With the advent of modern farming and increased field size and more monotype,
They seem to have really suffered there, and we saw the decline starting in the late 60s and 70s across the range. And we'll see that as people use land in different ways, wildlife will be affected. Whether we do it intentionally as conservation efforts to try to protect wildlife, or whether we're using land for our own purposes, we oftentimes create something for one group of birds, and of course, we may at the same time destroy something that others may be relying on.
Yeah.
So we need to take a look at large, broad landscapes to be able to make sure there's a little something for everybody out there.
Yep. Jay and Racine, turn to you now. Hello.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm a life resident of Wisconsin and grew up probably maybe two or three blocks away from Lake Michigan. Always was playing around that area when I was a kid. And maybe about 5 years ago, bought a house literally on the lake and never really realized how much of a difference three blocks can make. A whole different world, and I thought that those birds would have a little more range, but the birds that are in my yard now are nothing that the birds were in my yard three blocks from the lake.
Isn't that interesting, Noel?
Yeah, it is, and usually don't see that kind of dramatic difference, but as we know, onshore winds at this time of year can be really chilly, and you can get fog and really some kind of micro weather conditions set up. One of the projects I'm involved with this spring is counting water birds migrating past the point at Harrington Beach State Park. My son is up there today counting that. We're doing it, trying to do it every day all through the spring. So we know that the Lake Michigan lakeshore is an interesting flyway for birds, and we're trying to document that. So if people keep records of wherever they live and keep track of those from year to year, they'll definitely see some differences, not only from year to year, but from one house to another house, depending on how close you are to Lake Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely an eye-opener. I never really realized it, so I live there in a whole different world, that's for sure.
It is very cool living on the water, isn't it?
I appreciate the time, though.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate the call. Sheila in Columbus has a question. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
I'm going to relate this story secondhand because my neighbor told me the other night. He woke up, I don't know, in the middle of the night, and he thought our neighbors have three little dogs. And he heard some barking outside, and he went outside to see if they had left one of the dogs outside. Well, he got outside, didn't see a dog, and he went back in, got back into bed, and heard the barking again. So he went to the window and looked out the window, and he could see an owl in the pine tree outside of his window. So he was wondering, do owls, if they're mating, do they make a barking noise?
Well, I don't know about that. Noel, what do you think?
Well, we have a few species of owl, not a great number of owl species in Wisconsin, and some of them do provide a variety of calls. You know, most of them are described as hoots, but barred owls can do a lot of different kind of sounds. And, of course, barn owls, which is a species that really hardly ever find in Wisconsin anymore, they have all kinds of screeches and so forth. But barking itself, I'm not sure that really rings a bell that I've heard an owl that I would actually call barking. But Bill,
What do you think, Bill?
Well, you know, I've found oftentimes that when we try to describe the vocalizations of birds, you know, people use different kinds of terms, and sometimes it's a little hard, you know, to put into words what we're really hearing. A barking, well, we certainly do get that wheezy call of the young ones, great horned owls, in that late summer, fall. And, you know, as I said, we get some other vocalizations of them, but I don't know if I'd describe it quite as a bark. But, you know, they make a lot of different sounds, and so the different species is not always a single call that you're going to hear from one particular owl.
Yeah, no, you're right. Bill Volkert, naturalist, a retired wildlife educator from Horicon Marsh, the Department of Natural Resources. Noel Cutright, past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring membership drive. More than ever, you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network for great discussions. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give us to keep ourselves on the air. Your gift today of $60 or $120, any amount really helps fund the important discussions that you count on. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Judith, we're making some progress here, if I'm not mistaken.
We are. We're now looking for 43 more pledges in the next 40 minutes. Thanks very much to those of you that have pledged since the last break. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs we know you count on. Thanks if you've already given. If not, the time is now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, you can just about name the topic, and I think you've heard it here on the Ideas Network. We talk about the environment, finances, popular culture, of course, the weather. I think it's a valuable service and a service worth supporting. Judith and I certainly both support it with our dollars. I hope you'll make your contribution of $50 or $100 or whatever the amount to support the Ideas Net programs that you enjoy. This is your chance to make the programs possible. Call 888-202-2552, or even better yet, go to WPR.org and make your contribution there.
And, of course, you know that you can hear about birds several times a year on Larry's show, not just with Noel Cutright and Bill Volkert, who are huge favorites. And people were saying, we haven't heard from Noel and Bill. When are they going to be on? So here they are. We brought them to you for pledge. The important thing is that you donate to support the programs you enjoy, and you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. Consider asking for the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Fold-Out Guide as your thank you gift when you give $60 or more. You can see a couple pictures of that on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And you can go to WPR.org to pledge or call 888-202-2552.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin public radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin public radio is my source for a better life.
Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. This show's kept my mind nimble, too, for the most part, I think. Sometimes I have a lock, a freeze, brain freeze, but for the most part, it's kept me nimble. And listen, I'll tell you what, listener support from you is such a big part of why this program is available to you right now. Please make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, many listeners become donors out of a sense of social responsibility. They want to make a contribution to the greater good. If you think of WPR as a shared resource, and if you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year or two or five or ten, it's time to put something back in.
Make a donation for yourself and also for the community. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We know you're intelligent, and so we try to aim high with our guests, with our topics, and with what we present to you. We do our best to bring you in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every day. Because you appreciate these conversations you get on the Ideas Network, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 42 more pledges in the next 35 minutes. So your pledge right now really helps keep this program going strong, keep us up to date here. And I hope you'll make that contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Because you have a strong sense of what it means to be a Wisconsinite, chances are that Wisconsin Public Radio plays an important role in that sense of identity. We really do serve the entire state.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get news, voices, music, and sounds from around the state. Over time, all of those broadcasts add up to a strong sense of connection to the state we call home.
And Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a home we all share, and it's funded in large part by our listeners. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Judith, could you tell me the difference between the long-tailed duck and the ring-necked duck? Well, you probably could.
Well, I'm guessing that the long-tailed duck has a longer tail, and perhaps the ringed duck has a ring.
But if you knew, if you had the pocket guide, the Great Lakes Bird.
If I had the pocket guide, I could
speak with
authority.
You would be able to instantly be able to know the difference between those birds and a whole lot more birds. I mean, this is a this
really
pocket guide is really handy. And it's not going to, you know, if it's rain, you're out in the rain with it, it doesn't matter. It's not going to dry up and blow away. You can get this pocket guide with a contribution of $60 or more. You're going to, it's a fold up guide. You can stick it right in your pocket, put it in a business size envelope, actually. That's how it fits.
Yep. And you can join your friends and neighbors in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be.
So when you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to ensure that you'll always have the news and information you need every day. So if you want to know what a gadwall looks like, you can donate at least $60. We're going to send you this pocket naturalist. And you'll know also about a whole bunch of other birds, too. Pine grosbeaks, indigo bunnings, there's all kinds of birds in here, and they're from our area. And you can have a copy of it with your contribution of $60 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you'll do a whole different kind of spotting and watching if you are the lucky winner of a trip for two on a garden tour of London in Southeast England with Larry. Everyone who pledges a Strive will be entered in the drawing. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And frankly, you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send us a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number and send it to WPR England Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison. The zip code's 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or the easy way. Make a pledge right now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
So let's think about it. What does making a pledge mean? A pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day, and we really take that pledge seriously. Your pledge is to support them with a contribution in any amount.
You don't have to be an expert here. You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. You enjoy listening to this program. You don't have to be an expert birder to listen to Noel and to Bill talking. You just enjoy the programs. And I hope you'll reflect that in a contribution to us right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. We'll be back with our guests after a look at the news. Few things convey a sense of place, of time, of day, and of season more than the calls of birds. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. How closely do you watch birds? Do you have a good sense of which birds return to your yard in the spring and which ones keep you company all year? Maybe you want to know how to attract them to your garden or where to go for great viewing. Our guests are experienced birders, Bill Volkert and Noel Cutright, and they can answer your questions and a whole lot more when you call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. And don't forget to check our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. You can check for updates and fun photos. You can post your own photos. And if you like it while you're there, we'll send you daily updates on upcoming show topics. And we'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Talking birds today here on the Ideas Network, spring bird watching with our two guests, Bill Volkert, naturalist, retired wildlife educator, worked out of Horicon Marsh, Noel Cutright, past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, our guests. And thank you so much for listening in. Great to have you here. Lots of callers online already with questions for you guys. So I'm going to go to Don in Oconomowoc, who's been waiting quite a while. Don, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
The end of last summer, we found upwards of 15 to 20 dead birds by our feeders, between us and our neighbors. And I know there was a cat around. There was a black cat with a collar. So I started trying to trap it, live trap it, that is. Mm-hmm. And finally, just a couple weeks ago, I got two cats within a couple of days, and it still wasn't the cat I saw. And I just don't understand. And we haven't had birds now all winter. I mean, even now, there's just a couple that pop in once in a while by our feeders. And I don't understand people who have cats that think it's their that they should let them out because it's their nature to hunt. Well, when you get a pet, you should be feeding that pet and taking care of it, not letting it out to hunt other birds and whatever other creatures that they would eat.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me bonkers that the people do this. I mean, and that's not even, these cats I caught weren't even feral cats. Two yeah. were home cats because I brought them to Hawes, and they said that they could tell that they belonged to someone. I don't know. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah. And Noel, do you want to comment?
Well, I agree with Don wholeheartedly. People do have a responsibility of controlling their pets. You know, this is not a natural species here in Wisconsin. It's not a native species. It's an alien species, and it's here for our enjoyment. Why don't we try to maximize that enjoyment by trying to have them live longer and, as I said before, healthier, safer, by keeping them indoors? So I guess I don't understand it either, but I think we are maybe seeing some movement, but some people just get really irate when you suggest that they need to exert any kind of control on their cats.
Yeah. John in Milwaukee. Thank you again, Don, for calling. John in Milwaukee, want to give you a chance. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. Larry, I wanted to ask Bill and Noel. I was walking a little bit ago after it rained, and there were earthworms all over the sidewalk, so I had to watch where I walked. But then it occurred to me, all these worms, where are the birds?
Bill?
Pardon?
Bill, where are the birds?
First of all, worms is something that we tend to associate with certainly a common food for robins out in our front lawn. And I don't know how many times I've had people who've, you know, tried to take in a young bird they figure was orphaned, try to help it, and feed it worms. There seems to be this kind of a mindset that all birds eat worms. It turns out that insects is actually one of the larger diets for most of our songbirds. But robins are probably one of the few that will actually take earthworms. And robins are here. There are flocks out there. But, well, like any predator out there, there's always going to be more of its food source than there are predators. Of course, they need that to sustain themselves. And when you get the right conditions, all these earthworms emerge all at once. Yeah, there's just this glut of food. And it's certainly what's going to sustain at least a few of the birds. And as the insects start hatching out here, that's going to be food for everybody else to arrive.
Yeah.
That's also, by the way, a concern of mine for this really warm weather. We may just have a first big mosquito swarm here several weeks before we normally should.
Yeah, I've already gotten a mosquito bite, so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, it comes with the weather, right?
Comes with the weather. Thanks, John, for calling. Appreciate it. Steve, in Adam's Friendship, your turn. Hi, Steven.
I was just curious about the phoebe birds. How does one keep the nest away from the house?
Well, like any bird, we'll hear this quite a bit when we do our show. The robin right by the front porch, right on the light, or something like that, barn swallow. Those are common birds that will look for a structure. And if it's right by your door or where there's human traffic, that can be a conflict. It's upsetting for the bird. They get either riled up or maybe even a bit aggressive. And it's certainly disturbing or disconcerting for people who need to use those doors. Best thing to do is beat them to it, make it unsuitable. And best thing I would say is not only make it unsuitable for them, say, by a light or some sort of a perch that they're going to use, give them something else at a more favorable corner of the house. Give them a place you can lure them. I've got phoebes by my house, and I attached some small platforms for them. They've been back every year for the last 5 years. But I've tried to give them to a place where I'd more prefer them than right overhead of the main door.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you go online and just do a Google on phoebe nest platform, you'll get some hits on where to put them and how to construct, and they're much easier, obviously, to build than at a birdhouse.
Yeah, they're fairly simple. Almost anybody should be able to build one.
And think of constructing something as a deterrent so you don't have a platform where you don't want the birds.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Stephen, for calling. Judy in Sauk City, hello to you.
Hi, Larry, and I am a voice from your past. 42 years ago, I worked in ag journalism when you were there.
Oh, my goodness.
I worked for Fritz, and I helped proofread for you occasionally. But my question is, for the third year, I have a little robin that keeps coming back and banging into my window. I've hung tinfoil, plastic bags, taped pictures in the window, done everything, and he continues to come back, and he keeps banging until he bleeds.
Well, Judy, I think, either Bill or Noel can answer this question for you, but let's turn to Noel.
Well, I think we addressed that a little bit on the chickadee earlier.
This
bird is seeing its reflection in the window, and it's trying to drive that intruder away. You know, some can be, especially if you start when they first start doing it, they can be kind of easily persuaded, but boy, others are just so darn persistent. And of course, this will wane as the breeding season gets going, and they do go ahead and set up a territory and go about the nesting, but it can certainly be frustrating. It sounds like you've tried a lot of the methods that are recommended, and about all you can probably do now is maybe to hang something on the outside of the window. So they absolutely cannot see that reflection at all.
All right. I'll give it a try.
Judy?
Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for calling. Good to hear your voice.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. And I have an email from Diane in Racine who says, for the first time I've gotten an oriole feeder. And the directions say to put it out at the end of April. With the early spring, should I put it out earlier? Are the orioles migrating yet? I don't want to miss the chance to attract these gorgeous birds to my yard.
As I pointed out earlier, there will always be a few individuals out there that are testing a climate. And, of course, that's the way birds evolve into having different distributions and different timings and so forth. But the great bulk of the orioles will still be back right around the 1st of May. So I probably wouldn't change that. If you do see one out there in, late April, I'd go ahead and put it out. But I think just sticking to around the 1st of May should be okay for orioles and their feeders.
Yeah. You agree with that, Bill?
Keep in mind also, when they first arrive, they're not going to set up shop immediately. When you first start to see those birds, some may be migrants that are just stopping over on their way even further north yet, or others, if that's your resident arriving, it'll take a little while for them to replenish their energy, to settle down, to start to sing and establish a territory, lure a mate, and then look for a nest site. It gives you a little bit of time to get ready and try to accommodate them.
I'm telling you, our home on Lake Monona, the May 1st, I always see the first oriole on May 1st. It's
that first week of May.
Oh, man, it is absolutely amazing.
It's a great way to gauge the season and something to always look forward to.
Yep.
Just about the same time the first hummingbirds tend to show up as well.
And Larry, I have a couple of feedbacks here on things we've talked about today. The first lady, Ruth, talked about Muskrat Lake.
Yeah.
And it's just south of the Dane Rock County line, west of Edgerton, near the intersection of Stebbinsville Road and Washington Road. And then we had the person talking about the barking owl. One of our really most uncommon and very poorly understood owl species in the state are long-eared owls. And I know that their voice has been characterized sometimes sounding like a barking dog.
All right. So, boy, that would be a nice...
It would be.
Catch if you saw one of those, because they're pretty rare right here in Wisconsin.
Correct.
Now.
And very secretive.
Yeah. And Ben emailed and saw a white pelican at his property in Mequon this morning. And the first time he's ever seen one at his property, a white pelican.
Well, they're starting to migrate now. We had a few over winter up in the around Green Bay, but they're being sighted now as they move into the state. And these birds are probably heading for Green Bay or maybe some of the lakes in the Fox Valley area to spend some time. So it's a species that first started breeding in Wisconsin in the late 90s, and now their population, and of course Bill had many years of experience with them at Horicon.
Yeah.
Had a large population there. So It's a species that's now pretty much a permanent resident every year, not a permanent resident annually, but it does occur every year in Wisconsin during the summer season. And of course, they're migrating into the state now.
And we had a Facebook question from Nicholas. It says, I put up a thistle feeder, but the birds won't touch it. Any ideas why not? I also have a mixed seed feeder next to it and have to fill that one up every day. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, one of the problems with that thistle or Niger seed is it tends to spoil easily. And I'm wondering if some of this stuff late in the season now that you're buying, maybe it's been sitting around for a while. I've had that experience myself, and if the birds are not touching it, maybe it's time to dump that stock and start over with something else. They seem to be quite particular about the quality of that food, and from my experience, it seems to be something that spoils fairly easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're hitting one food source and they're not looking at the other one, maybe it's just getting to be old.
Yeah. There's a Facebook question from Suzanne, too. Do you know of any nocturnal bird that makes a slight drumming sound in the night, almost woodpeckerish, but I don't think they're out in the middle of the night? Drumming, when I think of drumming, I think of wings, but then when she talks about woodpeckers, I'm thinking of more of the tock, tock, tock kind of.
Yeah, your grouse does that drumming with the wings. That's early in the morning and throughout the daytime, starting about this time of year. You get a little bit of that booming, as they refer to it, of the snipe as they're starting to fly around, but drumming in the evening. You know, that's, again, how do we describe some of these odd sounds of nature? You know, it's really hard to sometimes put it in terms that sort of convey that.
Well,
good recording.
Well, we had a Facebook comment from Thomas, who's got a cardinal nest with two eggs in Hartford.
Oh, boy, everybody's getting an early jump, aren't they?
And another comment from Facebook from Deanna. So excited you mentioned the Kestrel partnership with the Peregrine Fund. We have a box, a pair in our box, and are really enjoying watching them. It's a great opportunity for citizen science.
Absolutely. I'd really like to encourage people to become involved in a whole wide variety of citizen science projects we have going on around the state. And there's just something about out there for anybody.
And a Facebook comment from Andy. Bill and Noel mentioned Bird City. McFarland's a Bird City, and McFarland's having the annual Bird Fest on April 7th in Lewis Park. Lots of activities for kids, including bird banding by the Urban Ecology Center.
Another great,
and guys, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to have Bill and Noel with us. Bill Volker, naturalist and retired wildlife educator at Horick and Marsh, and Noel Cutright, past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and Judith Sears-Poisson joining us. They'll be back on, they're going to be back on Memorial Day.
I'm pretty sure they will be.
Yeah,
you guys. I think I have to check with them.
You guys, yes for you. All with a yes.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Bill and Noel back. And that will actually be with me because Larry's taking a little time off.
I'll be in Canada for that one, yeah. And what about you? Are you listening? You're listening in because you like the Wisconsin, the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're here right now to remind you that WPR relies on you to keep programs like this one on the air. This is our spring membership drive. A gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to pay for the programs that you count on. So I hope you'll make a gift right now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Making some progress, but a ways
to
go.
We are. Yeah, we need 20 more pledges in the next 10 minutes. That is so doable. I know there's many more than 20 people out there listening and probably many more than 20 that have not made their pledge yet. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on and helps keep us on track for this goal for this program today. Thanks so much if you've already given. If not, it's time to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation with Noel Cutright and Bill Volkert about birds. Please take a few minutes now to make this program and the many hours to come possible. Put a value on the program you enjoy every day. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. 202-2552. And I love this pocket guide.
So you can receive the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Bird Fold-Out Guide when you make a contribution of $60 or more. Your donation supports the programs you love, like Bird Talk with Bill and Noel. And you can also get this nice thank you gift with your pledge of $60 or more. You can do that by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think a lot of what I hear on public radio, especially about the statewide stuff, sometimes I know the people they're talking about, and I certainly know the places they're talking about. I can really visualize it. The descriptions and the texture really makes it a great experience. So I've had a lot of those kinds of moments, I think, with public radio because I listen to it so often, you know, pretty much all the time. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, connections, and community.
Thank you, Ann, and thanks to you if you've pledged. If you haven't pledged yet, now's the time to do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Maybe your gift is $50 or $60 or maybe it's $100 or $500. We'd welcome $1,000. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
It's really true that every donation to WPR makes a difference, and that includes leadership gifts that make big projects possible. Help WPR with an annual gift at the leadership level of $1,200 or more if you're able. To set up a leadership pledge, visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thanks in advance for your gift of any amount.
On this program, we cover topics like the environment, consumer issues, gardening, a lot of advice, how-to type topics, Wisconsin authors, talk a lot about Wisconsin food. We love food. And you get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of WPR. So please support this program and all the other programs you enjoy here with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for 20 more pledges in the next 6 minutes
We have not moved.
We haven't moved. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you find that WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home or at the office, whether you're concentrating on something. Or relax, although I must say my wife cannot listen to me because she has a hard time concentrating. Oh, really? She has heard me at other times.
There you go. Well, like a good companion, you count on us for accurate news, great music, and intelligent talk. And I would also add laughs every once in a while. Now we're counting on you to be our companion and make a donation. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've wondered about the greater yellow legs and how it differs from the lesser yellow legs. Judith did not have an idea until
I saw the handy pocket guide.
The pocket guide for Great Lakes Birds, an introduction to familiar species. Wonderful four-color photos that are really help you.
It's really handy.
Yeah, it's really handy. And it's yours with a contribution of $60 or more.
And giving really does just take 2 minutes of your time. We've streamlined it as much as we can. All you have to do is tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. And consider using your credit card. It saves time, postage, and paper, and it puts your money to work right away. But no matter how you choose to give or how much, the important thing is that you take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you appreciate WPR for the good it brings to the community, for you having WPR available. It's personally important, but it's also important for everyone in the state because we all have access to the in-depth news, the thoughtful discussions, and the great music and entertainment.
And I have to say, answering the phones, queuing up callers. I really appreciate and enjoy that our callers and listeners are from every corner of the state and all points in between. So today, become a member with a contribution of any amount, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Only 14 more pledges to go to reach our goal. Yes, Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but think about what you would pay if you had to. Would you pay $5 a month or 10 or maybe a dollar a day?
Decide on the amount and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's your contribution that will be used to support the programs you hear every day on this station. Contribute now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Ah, 11 more pledges.
Oh, we're getting close.
And the next, 2.5, 3 minutes?
We can do it.
Yes, we can do it. Help us now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Ask for the Pocket Naturalist Great Lakes Birds Fold-Out Guide. You could just say the bird guide, I'm sure. That would shortcut it. With your pledge of $60 or more, that comes out to $5 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how would you like to spend 9 days with me in England? Oh, my goodness.
I would love that, Larry.
I'm telling you. It'd be a real treat for somebody, I'm pretty sure. Any amount, any pledge right now, and you'll be entered in a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour to London, England. And I've had a lot of people saying, is there any way that can I pledge more than once and get my name in a couple times? I said, well, the husband, the wife, the partners, you can do it. There are ways to do it. Get the details. Really, go online, take a look at this. Pledge right now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552, and you'll be entered to go to London with me.
And Larry, we have not one, but two comments from other Judiths that are listening. So I have to read these. Judith Solidarity. Judith from Duluth says, I learned so much from listening to WPR. I especially like Larry's Wednesday and Friday topics. Wednesdays we do environment and the outdoors. Fridays are gardening. So thank you, Judith in Duluth. And then Judith in Oshkosh says, I am proud to be a Wisconsinite when I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Programs, the hosts, the quality guests, and the intelligent and passionate callers expand the quality of my life. Thanks to both those Judiths from a grateful Judith here.
And thanks to you if you've contributed. If you haven't, this is the time to do it. You got a minute or so to go to reach our goal.
Six more to go.
WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. And thanks for listening.